Thanks, Gary. Morning, Liberty Church. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, God always has a word in season for us, you know, every single one of us, you know. Every morning we wake up, it's like sometimes it's like stepping on landmines with the enemy, you know. He's there. It's like when you open your eyes, he's there. It's like, oh, you get such a fright, he's there that quick. Like, seriously, honestly. I was asleep last night and preaching this morning. You like to wake up nice and fresh. And half 2 in the morning, my phone rings. And I knew straight away. I was like, I'm not answering that. I'm not getting into it tonight. Because with the work I do, a lot of nights, my phone would ring during the night. Various people ringing me looking for help, you know. So, and then at 4:30, then it rang again with a different number. I was like, nope, I knew. But even still, you know, God is good in all. You know, he's encouraged me there this morning, you know, with the worship, the words that Gary brought as well. Very, very powerful morning, and God is truly in this place this morning. That's for sure, you know. The heading for the word that I have this morning is, Who is Your Cornerstone? Yeah, and it's the song and all, and everything that he was saying, the whole thing from start to finish, you know, and I was driving down here last week with the lads from Tig Lynn, and God gave me a picture, and it was very, very clear. And the picture was of me with a gag in my mouth, and that the devil was silencing me. He didn't want me using my voice. He didn't want me telling people about God. He didn't want me praising God, thanking God, worshiping God. He wants to silence the church. And when God showed me that picture, he said, it's not just for you, it's for the whole church. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. I just want to pray, because anything I do is not of me, it's of God. It has to be of God. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord God, and we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, Father, for your love, Father, and we just welcome you here, Almighty God. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, for every single thing that you do in our lives, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, that you have given us a voice, Lord God, and that you are our cornerstone, Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are Lord of all, Lord of every single circumstance in our life, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God. I praise you, Lord God, that our hearts are towards you, Lord God, and that as we rest under the shadow of the Almighty, that you are always there, giving us strength and peace, Lord, and protecting us from the enemy, Almighty God. We ask you, Lord, that every single word that comes from my heart may not be from you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. I pray against every distraction from the enemy in this room, Lord God. We pray peace into every single mind and every single heart this day, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful love in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so as I said, who is your cornerstone? For me in my life, it has to be Jesus Christ. But recently, before, in the last couple of weeks, other things have been taking that place in my life, like money, my daughters, and so on and so on. Even the mobile phone at one point, I was nearly going to buy a touchscreen phone. It was like listening to the voice of the lie of the enemy. Seriously. And the thing was even robbed, stolen. I had this voice coming at me saying, go on, it's all right. It's just this one little thing. I was like, one little thing, get that boat. I actually thought about it. I really did, it's me being honest. I thought about it, and I was like, no, it's not of God. I don't want that. As most of you know, I have a little 20-euro phone in my pocket for reasons, you know. So, no, but look, the enemy will try every single thing. He'll try every single trick in the book. He even comes at me through my family, through my sisters and brothers and so on, and he has been doing that. The enemy comes at us in all different ways. In Romans 1, I'll start at verse 13. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but it was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. You know, there was a lot of things trying to stop me this morning from getting here, prevent me from getting here, just like Paul. When he was writing to the church there, the enemy was always trying to stop him. The enemy was trying every trick in the book. Even this morning I woke up, I was like, the enemy. And I was like, no, I'm going on my knees. I'm going on my knees to the Lord, because it's not me, it's Jesus Christ who's bringing the word this morning. You know, it's not me, it's Jesus Christ who's the cornerstone of my life. So that's who I went to. I got on my knees and I was like, Lord, here I am in submission. I need you. And he did, just like that. Bang. And even when I come in here this morning from start to finish, from the very start of that worship, right through to Gary speaking, the whole thing was all God. It was a very powerful presence of God when I was standing over there. That really, really was. That's why at one point I lifted my hands up when Gary was talking. It was like, I wanted to touch him more. I could feel the atmosphere changing just like that. You know, but the enemy wants to come along and he wants to rip it off from underneath us all. He wants to gag us all, shut us all up. He doesn't want the church having a voice. And that's what God showed me last week before I come down here. And Noel Kenny was even speaking about that. And I was sitting there going, wow, because that's what God told me to speak for this week. On the back of what he was saying. And then even the song Cornerstone comes up on the screen. Don't say it's all coincidence, folks. It's not. It's God, God, and God. God wants to shut us up. But I'm telling you now, he's not going to shut me up. I'm not going to stop telling about people about Jesus. I'm not going to stop telling about how great God is in my life, in the church, the whole lot, you know. And sometimes, I was only thinking there, Jordan, worship. It took me years to get past the strongholds in my mind in worship. Because when I go to church, I had this voice in my head saying, you don't belong here. What are you doing here? And all this insecurity stuff coming at me. And it took me years to break past that. It took me years to learn to throw my hands in the air without even caring. Now I can do it without caring, but it took me years to work through the strongholds in my mind, to break the enemy's stronghold in my mind. You have to work out, keep going to Jesus, And that's what I kept doing all the years. Was going to Jesus with every single problem I'm having, every single insecurity in my life, I go to Jesus. Because he's the only one that can take it away. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Jesus Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Just for a second, I'm going to stop there. The first verse says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Isn't it funny sometimes, no matter how much you can go around telling people about Jesus, every now and again, the enemy will come at me and he'll go, a voice will be there, don't tell them about Jesus. They ain't going to receive him. They ain't going to like it. They're going to think you're a dope and all this other stuff coming at me. See, the devil wants to shut us up. He wants to put the gag in our mouths. Every single one of us. He doesn't want us going around doing what we're doing. If the church was to really get full revelation of what Jesus Christ says in his word, because it's all in the word of God. That's why I love reading my word. Christ tells me who I am in him and who he is in the Father and who we all are in one spirit and what he can do in our lives. It's like Abraham. He believed God right up until he was 100 years of age. Still believed him that he was going to be the father of many nations. He didn't have a kid. And he was 100 years of age. His wife was practically the same age as him. But yet God still gave him a child. God was true to his promise in his life. And God is true to the promises in my life. You'll be surprised what the enemy throws at me to try and stop me from achieving what God has said he has for me in my life. He puts all the craziest people in my life, women. And since I preached the last one, there's been nothing but women coming at me. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. But these aren't Christians. Here's what I'm saying to you. This is why I'm telling you this. And I know it's the devil because God has been showing me. And we'll go into that a little bit later on because it's later on in the scriptures. But, you know, the enemy will try every single thing to stop you because we are the church of Christ. All right. This good news tells us how God made us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. It's like I said, from start to finish by faith. You have to do something for faith to work. You know, I put my hands in the air because the Bible tells me so. When I put my hands in the air, I'm saying, God, you're the greatest. Actually, I was in my room this morning. Sometimes when I'm on my knees, sometimes I'll put my both hands up towards heaven like that when I'm saying a certain thing. And then it was like the Lord was showing me this morning. You ever see a funnel for petrol? With the way it goes, it wood at the top, so that all the petrol goes in and goes in thinner at the bottom. And it was like the Lord was showing me, every time I put my hands up like that, I'm like a funnel. The Holy Spirit is filling me. Filling me. And that's what God was showing me this morning, you know. And for those of you, you know, who, you know, as I said earlier, I only put my hands in the air because the Bible tells me so. It tells you, well, holy hands lifted high and hearts abandoned. That's how you worship God. And that's why I worship God like that. You know, you don't have to lift your hands right up. Put your hands out in front of you. But your palms are facing towards heaven. The enemy doesn't even want you doing that. And that's the truth. You know, you need to push past these things in our minds. You know, if we keep on letting the enemy rob us, and robbing us, he'll keep on robbing you. Me and all, I've go through this stuff all the time. It's not easy in my life, but I have Christ in my life, and he is my cornerstone. Every single time something sets itself up in my life against Christ being the cornerstone of my life, and God shows me it, then I get rid of it. I knock it down with a bulldozer because Christ is my cornerstone. He has to be my cornerstone, because if he's not, the whole building will come crashing down. And I'll come crashing down. I guarantee you that. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Doesn't matter whether you're Noel Kenny. I was with him during the night up in RD Street. He had an amazing meeting, amazing night. And now he's really, really sick. He's really not well. He hasn't been sleeping for nights. And just the enemy. And it really is the enemy, you know, because the enemy wants to knock the top down and then the rest comes crumbling down. But he'll never do that because Christ is the top. You know, so just on the back of that, I'll just keep Noel Kenny in prayer today, you know. Yeah, absolutely. He's a mighty man of God, I can tell you that. And you know, mighty men of God like that need other mighty men of God and women coming alongside our leaders in the church. We really do. We need to get out there more and do more with the church, get more involved with the church. And in our own lives as well. You know, I know there's a lot of people in here who are mothers, you know, and you don't have much time in your hands to do things. A lot of you work and you don't have much time to do other things. But tell the person who works with you in work about Jesus. In your own little way, slip her in there, and God will always give you an opportunity to do that. If you're a stay-at-home mother, step out of the boat and tell somebody about Jesus when your neighbor's on the road or something. I pray into it and ask God who to speak about, and he'll show you, I guarantee you. And you'd be amazed at what God will do. You'd probably have the person here sitting with you next week. Seriously, I'm telling you, I was up during the night, two women in Dolphin House, a mother and a daughter, till 12 o'clock at night. They wouldn't stop asking me questions about the church and Jesus and my testimony. And oh, I was loving it though. I really was loving it. You know, I really think they'd be in RD Street this morning. I really am believing that. You know, and I was going home with such a joy in my heart. Such a joy in my heart, and I really mean that. And that's what God does. He puts that in us. You know, when that joy arises in our hearts, that's God's heart. Jumping up there. He's jumping up and down with joy because what we're doing down here in the earth. That's God's heart. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Though everything God made, they can clearly see this invisible qualities. His invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. No excuse for not knowing God. Everybody knows God near enough, like especially us as Christians. And for me as a Christian, I have to check myself at times as to, do I really know God? Do I really know God? You know, for me, knowing God is not just coming to church on a Sunday. For me, knowing God is reading my word every day and talking to God every day. You know? And I really, really have to check myself on that quite a bit. And I have been. And I watched a film recently. It's called War Room. What a film. I was on fire after. I was out the Bible worship, on praising God, praying my heart off. I have. It was that good. I even brought it up to Tig Lynn that weekend. All the lads watched it. And at the end of the film, they were roaring and clapping and whistling and cheering. And they never done that watching the film. The whole gaff went up. Like, seriously. If you haven't seen the film War Room, watch it. It's an incredible, incredible film. And God will speak to you so, so powerfully through this film, you know. And there's a woman in it. Well, I'll just tell you this little piece. There's an African lady in it. And what a woman of God. She's on fire. She's kicking the devil all over the gaff and up her. Seriously. You know, see, we don't do the fighting. God does the fighting. But we need to go on our knees before God and pray to God. You don't have to go on your knees. You can stand up and talk to God. You can talk to God any which way you want, as long as you talk to him and use your voice and use your mouth. You know, but the devil, again, wants to put the gag on us. He doesn't want us getting there. He'll put things in our way. He'll put circumstances, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives, mothers, daughters. And it tells us this all in the scriptures, that they'll all come against us at some point or another. Mother against mother, daughter against mother, all this stuff. Tells you all in the scriptures. And it's true. The devil will use every single thing and every single one to stop you from doing what God wants you to do, you know. But we have to recognize that and kick the devil out of camp. Boot him out of camp. And I said to someone the other day, You know, there's an awful lot of people, too many Christians out there actually, who are afraid of the devil. Why are you afraid of the devil when you have God? And that's how we look at it. I'm not afraid of the devil, I'd be afraid of God. The devil's nothing compared to God, I can tell you that. But that's me knowing who God is in my life. And we all have to get that revelation of who Jesus is in our lives. And when we do, I guarantee you this place will be kicking on a Sunday. That's when you know that people actually have that revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is in their lives. So it encourages us, the church, if you're in a stalemate place, you know, the scripture says, either be hot or cold, don't be lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of your mouth. And it's the truth. It really, really is the truth, you know. So I don't know where you are. I know where I am in life. Only you know where you are in life. And you need to get right with God and get to that place with God in your own hearts and in your own lives, and start picking up the word of God again. Stop letting the devil put phones in your way, television, DVDs, distractions. You know, because what you put into your life will be portrayed back out through your life. It will project back out through your life. I guarantee it will, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty. You know, when the F word comes out of my mouth, it's like I want to grab my mouth with both hands and like, shh, crap, where did that come from? And it's the truth, because I've been doing little things that haven't been right in my life, and this is what comes back out of me then, when I let them things back in, like, you know. So we have to boot the enemy out of camp. And Jesus will do that for us if you just get before him and tell him what's going on in your life and ask him to help you. Yet they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Dark and confused. Sometimes if I'm not right with God, my mind goes like that, because it's the things I'm letting into my life. It's the stuff I'm doing in my life. And sin is the start of all that stuff, you know. And then we start saying, but it's all right because God's grace is there. And we continue to do the same sin. No, it's not all right because you know you're doing wrong. And that's when confusion comes into our lives and our minds start to become dark. There's even Christians out there, their minds are even dark and they still think they can see. It's the blind leading the blind, you know. And I really feel sorry, so sorry for anyone like that. And for me, I have to check myself all the time. It's like I do a diagnostics on myself. I was taught that up in Tiglin by Ginny McClutchin. It's like doing a diagnostic on myself in my own life, my body, you know, where I am with God, where I am spiritually. I check all that stuff every couple of weeks. I do have to do that, you know, as a Christian. Because the enemy is very, very clever. He's very, very clever. He'll get into our lives in so many different ways. As I said, you won't even see him coming at best of times, but God will always reveal him in the end. But it's up to you down the ground on your knees and kick him out of camp and call upon Jesus. You know, don't let the darkness and the confusion into your life. You know, they say that the eyes are the soul, the eyes are the windows to the soul. You know, and I do often look at my eyes. And I remember when I come back from England, from Teen Challenge in England, man, like, seriously, I was on fire. I was like, you can nearly see it in your eyes at times, seriously. It is true what the Bible says. So stop listening to what the devil is saying in your lives and pick up your Bible and listen to what God is saying in your lives. You know, it's like the parable of the servants. He gave them all talents to go off, and he went off on a journey, and he came back, and some of the servants, you know, they doubled their money. And there was another servant who didn't do a thing. He just buried it. He got lazy. He got lazy. We have to stop getting lazy as Christians, you know, because this life is only for a short time. Heaven is for eternity. I want to get to heaven and know that I've done my best. I really, really do. And I guarantee you one thing. If I didn't have God in my life, there's no way I'd be able to go up here and talk for even 2 minutes. That wasn't the person I was. The person I was wouldn't even look you in the eye, and that's the truth of it. But it's because I have Jesus in my life. It's all about Jesus. They were claiming, even after their minds became dark and confused, they claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshipping the glorious ever living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And that'd be the idols that we have in our lives. We need to get rid of the clutter and let the Holy Spirit fill us to overflowing. As a river overflows the damn boss. We should be flowing like that in the Holy Spirit all the time. And, you know, when I realize I'm not, I'm back on my knees again. I'm like taking the gag off, and I'm like, Lord, help me. Please help me. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. You know, it talks about, back in the Old Testament, about one guy, he gave up his inheritance for a bowl of porridge, a bowl of soup. You know, and it says in other scriptures, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I know I'm saved because God tells me so and I believe it. I know that in my heart. And when you know that in your heart, you'll know. You know, I just say to the lads up in Tig Lane, if you don't feel the Holy Spirit in you, there's something wrong. You need to be able to feel, it's like a flame goes up in your heart, it goes woof, and it's like, whoa. And it releases the most beautiful feelings, peace, just right through you. When I was talking to that woman, that mother and daughter the other night, as I was talking to them, every time I mentioned Jesus our God, a big huge smile would come on my face, and I was just like, I was lighting up like a Christmas tree, and they were seeing that. And they actually said to me at one point, every time you mention God, you smile, you light up like a Christmas tree. I says, because that's the Holy Spirit in me, you know. And that was just God working through my life into their lives, revealing themselves to them, you know. So I know there's no darkness in me because the light is in me because he shines through my life. And that's how you know. You will know them by that fruit, you know. Stop listening to the lie and stop listening to the lie of the enemy saying, ah, it's okay, be all right. Just keep doing what you're doing. No, it's not okay. It's a lie. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who was worthy of eternal praise. Amen. It says amen here too. That's why I said it a little louder. See, we're all listening. Praise the Lord. Now, I know yous are. I know yous are. I really do. I know yous are. But we need to have faith. We need to believe what God is saying to us today. You know, we need to get rid of wherever the cornerstone is. If it's not Jesus, you need to get rid of it in your life. You know, I told you there recently that, you know, it was like getting disheartened because I didn't have a wife yet and all this stuff. And that became my cornerstone. I'm using that as an example right now. That became my cornerstone where Jesus was pushed out of the way, nudged over there. You see, I had to get rid of all that, and I have to get right with God and believe what God has said. He says he has for my life. And God has the best for me and he has the best for you. We need to keep believing that. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. You know, When I think of all that, you know, men with men and women, women and with women, you know, the enemy always comes out. I don't know about women because they're not a woman, but I'm sure he does. Pornography would be a big thing for men, that I do know, and obviously for women, because I've asked one of the women the question over the years, being curious, you know, and the enemy knows our weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses and he knows your weaknesses. You know, and that's why I have a 20-euro phone in my pocket, because there's no internet on it. I don't have a computer in my room. I don't have a laptop in my room because I'm protecting me against the enemy. So wherever way the enemy's getting into your life, you need to shut the door. You need to slam it in his face and even catch his nose in the door on the way out. Seriously. But you need to shut them doors in their lives. And you know what doors. I know what doors are in my life, and you know what doors are in your lives. You need to shut them. And shut them all the way. Don't shut them and leave it open a little tiny little fraction. And you know what I'm talking about. Slam it. Kick it shut. And say good rhythms to it. And keep them trusting God. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that they should never do. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. You know, when the enemy does get into my life, I start to become every now and again someone who the tongue will get loose a little bit and gossiping and other areas like that. And, you know, unforgiveness gets into our hearts as well. Unforgiveness is a massive thing. It holds us back. You know, I realized the other night that I'd never fully forgive me ma if for being there for me when I was a kid up during the meeting, and I realised that, so I went up to the front for forgiveness to ask the Lord to help me to forgive her properly, and ask the Lord for forgiveness for holding that unforgiveness against me, own mother, you know. And in all different areas in our lives, I don't know what's going on in your lives, but we've all been through a lot of hurt and pain, and God wants to work through all of that, but you have to bring it to him so he can do it, you know. And if any of them things, words come out to you that I just read off the page here, you know, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, if you don't love the person beside you, there's something wrong. Look, if there's someone, and you look at a person and you go, oh, can't stand that person at all, there's something wrong. Because the Bible says the first commandment is to love the God, Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second commandment is equally as important as the first, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So if I come across a person and I find in my heart I just can't love this person, there's something wrong in me, and I have to go to God with that and ask God to help me, to give me his love so we can love that person. I don't rely on my love to love the person, because I wouldn't have it, but God has it for me and he has it for you. So do that diagnostic on yourselves and check yourselves and see what's going on in your own lives. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. They encourage others to do them too. And that's how dark their lives become. You know, they bring others with them. The devil's not content in just getting you. He wants you to bring others with you. You know, he wants us all gone. You know, over the years going to church, you see people disappearing, falling away. You know, and we have to be there to come alongside these people. We have to. We see someone who's not in church, we need to be there. We need to be on the phone saying, all right, how's things? What's happening? You know. We need to be on it all the time as Christians, because that's who we are. You know, I said to someone there yesterday, we have this little thing on the bus that says, more hands, more feet, more Jesus on the street. And that's the truth. But what would Jesus do? He'd pick up the phone, say, how's things? How are you doing? Do you want to meet up for a coffee? You know, how come you haven't been in church? Is everything all right? You know, or we can just be in our own little worlds and building our own little kingdoms, and everything's rosy in the garden, so it seems, until we get to the gates, the pearly gates. I don't want to get to that judgment seat and God, well, you could have done this. Like, oh, me? I know already, because God tells me in the Bible what I have to do while I'm here on the earth. You know, we have to be there for one another. Sometimes we think outside the church and think, oh, yeah, help this, and that's brilliant. But sometimes we need to look back inside the church and see who's not there and help them. You know, I was thinking of this yesterday. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I started smoking cigarettes when I was 13 years of age, and it stunted my growth. Cigarettes and drugs stunted my growth, stopped me from maturing. So even when I was 38 going at the Thick Lane, I still had the attitude and the mind of a 20-year-old, even a 19-year-old, to be quite honest with you. I was a right little sound, so it was, and I went there. Seriously, an awful lot of anger, hatred inside me and all that stuff. So it stunted me growth. And you know, when I started to think about that yesterday, I started to think, you know, when we don't read our Bible and when we don't talk to God and let God into our lives, it stunts our growth as a Christian. It stops us from spiritually growing. You know, I don't want to be a 2-year-old when I should be a 6-year-old Christian, basically. You know, so we have to keep them going to the Word of God. You know, during the night up in RD Street, the guy who was doing, he was a potter, and he was making vases and stuff and talking through it. But every time he talked, there was scripture in between. Every time he'd done that, it was like you could feel the power being released from what he says. It's the Word of God. It's a sword. It cuts through all the crap, and it brings the truth into your lives, and it reveals the darkness. And when the light comes, the darkness flees. The enemy flees. But we have to keep them doors shut ourselves. Yeah, I'm going to go into Ephesians 6, verse 14. finding it now. Okay. Ephesians 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You know, and Jason Upton sings a song, we are living on the rim of the edge of the invisible world. It's a spiritual world that we live in. For people who don't know God, it's a physical world, but for us, it's a spiritual world. We live in a spiritual world as Christians, and you have to get to know the strategies and schemes of the devil, that he's relentless. He's relentless. You know, when he left Jesus in the desert, it says that he left to come back at an opportune moment, at the right time, when you're weak, when he knows that he can get you. And when we're weak, when we're with Jesus, when we're the strongest. So you need to be with Jesus at all times, not just every now and again or when it suits you. For me, I have to be before the Lord every single morning, talk to him throughout the day and then even at night. At home, sometimes I even put on the worship and worship the Lord. I'm lucky to be working in ministry in Dublin because I'm always around Christians. I'm always, but that doesn't mean that I'm any much more off better than you. You know, I still have to get before Jesus every single day. I still have to rely on the power of God that works within my heart. It's the power of Christ that's within us. You know, every single time I'm at home, when I pray, I expect to feel the presence of God. I always open my hand and say, Lord, I just need to feel your presence. I need to feel your Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit turns up, everything else just disappears. Everything disappears. Everything becomes meaningless. The only thing that becomes important in my life is Jesus then. And he is the cornerstone of my life. He has to be the cornerstone of all of our lives. Because eventually it'll catch up with us and we'll end up crumbling. It'll fall to the ground. It'll all fall to the ground. Wherever little kingdom we've built up, finances, cars, houses, jewelry, computers, wherever material stuff is that you have in your life and you're building it up and turning into your own little kingdom, get rid of it and put Jesus first in your lives. So on the back of all that, I'm going to do a call. And the reason why I'm going to do a call is because it's a call of faith. Everything is done by faith with Jesus. Every single thing is done with faith by Jesus. You know, and you hear the expression, people saying that, you know, oh, there's a calling on my life, but I'm waiting on God to come along and tell me. No, he's already told us, but we need to group off our air ends and get that into gear and get going. And that's faith. So this morning, I'll be the first to stand up because I am standing up. But in my heart, I'm standing up because there is something there. And I'm going to do a call for every single person in the church. If anything that I said here today resounds in your heart and you need Jesus to come along and help you in that area in your life, stand up out of your chair. Don't let the enemy stop you. Don't let your mind stop you. Break the strongholds that say, no, you look stupid. No, you don't. You look great because God is going to come along and do a work. He's going to take whatever that is in your life away, you know. Or you can choose to stay in your seat, sitting where you are, because I tell you, if you keep on doing that, you'll be there for quite a while. But that's between you and God. As far as I'm concerned, me and my household will serve the Lord. You know, that Christ has to be my cornerstone. He is my cornerstone. And I'm not perfect. I always fall short, but Jesus brings me through it every single time. His grace and the love of God, the love of the Father, every single time. It breaks every single stronghold in my life. It breaks off confusion. It breaks off fear. It breaks the devil off my life. And I'm not afraid to say the word devil because I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm afraid of God. I love God. It's a reverent fear. It's knowing who God is in my life. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for every single life who stood up here today, Almighty God. And I just ask you, Lord God, your Holy Spirit to come into them places and invade them places in their lives, Heavenly Father. And that, Lord God, that you do that mighty work in their hearts, Lord Jesus, and in their minds and in their souls. I pray freedom over their lives, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are taking the gags off our mouths, Lord, that you have given the church a voice, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. We break off every stronghold of the devil in Jesus Christ's name. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ all over every single one of us today. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. We praise you for the cross. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord God, that you set us free, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. And in faith, Lord God, we take off the gags off our mouths and we say that we won't be silent no more, devil. That God has given us a voice and we will go out there and proclaim who Jesus Christ is to this nation, Almighty God. I ask you, Lord God, that you fill us all afresh, a fresh importing of faith, Lord God. Let faith arise in this church, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. Let your holy oil of joy flow through every single heart, Lord Jesus, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit bring truths into their minds and into their souls, into their hearts, into their whole being, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. That is everything that you do, Lord Jesus, in our lives. And we praise you for the power in your name, Lord Jesus. Even the demons know who you are, Lord God, and they tremble and fear you, Almighty God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, continue to give us all revelation of who you are, Lord Jesus, and the power in you, Lord God, in your Holy Spirit, Almighty God. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Heavenly Father, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. The living God, and we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Thank you. So, you know, sometimes when I finish church up in Tig Lane, we don't let the lads play pool and snooker straight away because we like them to reflect on what was said in church, and I have to remind myself of that all the time, and after church, I like to reflect on what I heard throughout the day and let God minister to you throughout the day in what he said to you today, you know. So, thanks very much. So, if you've never been here before and you want to have tea and coffee, it's out the back out here. And we love you and we'd love to see you all again. Thanks very much.